Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Bottom of the 2 o'clock hour, it is Chuck and Chernoff. The 2 p.m. hour brought to you by Southern Exteriors, the Southeast premier home exterior solution, quality and precision you can rely on for over 20 years. Visit southern-exteriors.co. Welcome. Yes, thank you, Chuck, and thank you for having me aboard. Matt is under the weather. They've just worked him to the bone. This is not a protest. This is not a sit-down, sit-out, whatever. He's just flat-out sick. So here I am, out of the box, out of the bullpen. Mike Morgan back with you, back with Chuck, and for the first time back with Dylan Short. Glad to be with you for the next few hours as we take you to the Braves Ford leadoff show at 6:05. First pitch tonight at 7:20. Chris Sale will be on the bump for the Red Hot Atlanta Braves. Chuck, how are you, sir?
Michael, so good to be with you again. And you're right about Matt Chernoff. This isn't any sort of, like, you know, he's not a protest. He didn't wear a black armband or anything. He is just way, way, way under the weather. And so off of work he is today. And I asked Dylan, I was like, blah, 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 work with Mike Morgan, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, ain't done it before. So Dylan, Mike, Dylan.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. See, I heard Matt actually got benched for a game. It's just what I was kind of hearing through the grapevine. I heard that maybe there was some consternation that might have got him benched for a day.
That is just the middle of April broadcast, and so let's give somebody,
you know, just a
double A.
Got to make sure that we don't set the tone for things going forward. I can't confirm. That's just what I've heard through the grapevine.
Okay, well, that's fine. But what if it's we can only give one of them off, and the real tryout is for Dylan and Mike to replace both of us?
Well,
suddenly it's not so funny. All right, DT's with me. He sees you've always got to be thinking, folks. They're coming after me.
I would never even think of such a thing. I don't want this job. You've got this job in perpetuity, my friend. Now, I can't speak for Dylan Short. That I don't know. And by the way, this is a little bit odd because I can see you guys. I'm at Studio South. I can see you guys on the app. Chuck is wearing a Rice t-shirt, which is hilarious. Kind of an homage to CSS, Conference USA Football, is all I can think of there.
Oh, absolutely, which is where that you know, about my job, what happened? Brett Favre got in my wallet. He snaked the job from me.
That's right. For those that don't know, and Chuck reminds me of it every time I see him, I don't think your anger is at me. I think it's more
at the... No, you didn't throw your jersey on the desk, though, and I was a little bit let down.
That's true. I did not protest. Back when we used to have Games of the Week on CSS, Chuck was my regular partner, and better camaraderie you could not find. And then all of a sudden, the bosses said, hey, it's a Southern Miss Rice game. I have an idea. Why don't we call Brett Favre and see if he wants to be the analyst? And, of course, I laughed and said, yeah, like Brett Favre is going to do color at a CSS game. And sure enough, he said yes.
Because he lives on a farm like 5 minutes from campus.
Yes. Yes. And literally when he came to the stadium late, you know, we usually are there like 2 hours before, little production meeting, little let's go over some things. Shows up way late and with grease all over his hands. He's just been doing yard work in said field. and then froze. Then absolutely froze for like a half. It was
yeah,
not
color
quite...
commentator was the job. Now here's the thing. You did draw him out. Here's the thing though, and this is my experience of this. Imagine last week of October you get told, "Hey, your November salary just got cut by 80%. Well, what happened? Did we cancel the broadcast? No, we're giving it to an NFL Hall of Famer.
At least you can put that on your resume. You know, that's all well and good, but look what's happening now. He's doing Copperfit commercials, and you're the king of college football.
Well, that's right. He's fighting off lawsuits in the state of Mississippi, and Chuck, you've got a clean record as far as we know. Yeah. Dylan Short, again, I don't know if your record is clean, but in my book, your record is as clean as your spin rate and your launch angle.
That's all that matters.
That's right. That's
the Brent Strom of co-host.
You know what? I will take that. I will gladly take that. Brent Strom, fantastic.
So guys, I know we're going to get into a bunch of things that we love talking about this time of year. I mean, we always love talking. We can talk Braves 365. We know that, right? We're all kind of wired in the same brain in that respect. We watch, we listen every game. We'll talk some NFL draft. I'm a confessed draft geek. I watch every pick every year. Yes, I've got a problem. Some college football and wherever else it takes us today. But I haven't been on with either one of you for a couple of months. And I just, not to revisit the pain of it, but I've been asked a lot about it on other radio shows. And I'm curious, what was the post-mortem like? Obviously, being in first place makes you forget about it somewhat. But Spencer Strider going down for the year, which was like my worst nightmare scenario for this team, other than maybe Acuna. Set for me the mood. What was it like? What have you guys told everybody to make everybody feel better?
Well, I mean, the first thing you would draw the parallel to is obviously Acuna going down in 2021. I would actually say that this was more of a nightmare scenario than Acuna going down, because the Braves are uniquely situated to where it doesn't matter which offensive player they lose, they still have stars to kind of replace that production. Like, even if you lose Ronald, you still have Riley and Harris and Olsen and Ozzie, and that's a whale of an offense anyway. Pretty much the entirety of what the Braves were looking to do with this pitching staff, which was, let's bring in a guy that's a little bit of a wild card in Chris Sale. Don't know how the health is, but we just need him to be healthy for October, and we can set our rotation as Strider, Freed, Sale, with Charlie as the number four. That was kind of the ideal situation, in my opinion, and Lopez could become a multi-inning guy in October. Pitchers are never guys to rely on as far as health, but just for me personally, I was kind of shocked because of all the guys, I kind of thought Spencer was the one guy I could count on for innings.
And until literally the final out of spring training, he was perfect, as
yes.
in you didn't score off of him.
And he just came back in. Like,
and
he
added
done.
A curveball. And so then it was done, and I was listening to the broadcast as I was leaving that night, and I remember Joe and Ben saying, they pointed out, they're like, "Hey, he's in like 93, 94, and he's supposed to be about 98, and that's about the fourth one that's bounced in front of the plate. Something looks off tonight." So that's how it came out. Here was my reaction, though, is if you'll remember, Mike, and I mentioned this last week in the moment, that there was a Thursday at the end of June. It was a day game at home against the Twins. It was a getaway game, and they brought up Colby Allard just to make the get us through. We would love to win, of course. More than anything, we don't want any of our real pitchers to throw pitches. So Colby Allard came up, and he actually pitched himself into the next two or three starts. He had a really good Thursday day game. We would love to win. Just give us some innings. I said, we were always going to get to that role emerging again. And last year, it was the fifth spot at the end of June. I said, unfortunately, it was the number one spot in the rotation the third time through. It wasn't supposed to be for Strider in the middle of April. It was supposed to be for the fifth spot at the end of June. So this just fast forwards what was going to happen. But it doesn't just accelerate it. It like blows it up times five.
It's one of those things. And look, I would say this if this was a show in Minneapolis. Alex Anthopoulos is as good as it gets at what he does. And if anybody can Band-Aid this as well as you can Band-Aid it, it's him. I mean, he's notorious for picking up under-the-radar guys and trade deadlines that wind up coming up huge in the second half in the postseason. However, I just don't think there's any chance you replace Spencer Strider. Like, there's not a team out there even if he's in a free agent year, a true ace, a guy that led the league in wins and strikeouts, and a team's going to be like, yeah, we'll give him up for a couple of prospects. I don't see that. And so for me, this team is going to cruise control to another divisional title. I firmly believe that, even without Strider. The concern for me is not in April. It's in October. And that is where I'm just like, man, oh, man, that really
stinks. Can I help you
really
a little bit
stinks.
With that?
Yeah, please.
I watch a lot of Houston baseball, you know, every season. And so before the Astros series, I was like, all right, here's the Astros. They could mash, but the starting pitchers are all beat up and the bullpen is expensive and bad. If they continue to play bad baseball, they do have some starting pitchers that are about to get healthy and they will be available at the end of July. This is a little bit of a declaration season for them, they believe, in a couple of guys, and they already declared
for
Altuve. But Verlander, Framber, they got a lot of pitching. And so you're right. If this current Braves pitching staff were, like, airlifted to October, it'd be, how are we going to do this? Boy, Chris Sale's uber important. And Charlie, we need you to emerge, you know, all that. I think come July 29th, 30th, 31st, there's going to be a horse out there. And when you lose Strider, it does change your plans. It absolutely does what you do at the deadline.
What else I would point out on this, if you want some sort of silver lining, is it doesn't make losing Strider hurt less to me personally, just because I'm a huge fan of watching a guy that could at any moment match Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game. Like I firmly believe that's in the future for Strider.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like a localized event. It is everybody losing top tier pitchers everywhere.
Yeah,
so when you start looking at October, like look at the World Series matchup last year, the Rangers, who were held together with scotch tape and bubblegum. Eovaldi was not a guy that was supposed to stay healthy. Scherzer was not healthy. Nobody
DeGrom
was healthy
had
for them.
Been gone 5 months.
And then you had the Diamondbacks pop up. And why did the Diamondbacks get there? Because they had two guys that you could count on.
Merrill
Gallon,
the mainstay.
Yes.
Like, that's his nickname.
Yes. Like Merrill Kelly is like the perfect number three starter. A good number two, but the perfect number three in baseball. And then you have Zach Gallen, who mostly had been a two, popped off for 1 year. So it's not like you can't get around it. And when you can mash like the Braves can, you do have that fallback option of, okay, I'm just going to score more than you.
I would have said the same thing last year when they hit below the Mendoza line against the Phillies in the first round. There is that. But no, I understand what you're saying. And yes, it makes me feel a little bit better. That's what I was looking for, a little therapy in the opening session of the show. I still don't. I mean, 41-year-old Verlander would be something, and the Astros could be dealing. There could be a lot of teams that could be wheeling and dealing come the trade deadline. I don't think you get anything quite like Spencer Strider in a deal. You get something that might be good enough to still win a World Series. It's entirely possible. I just don't think. And then the other thing I think of, far be it for me to be Debbie Downer, this is the second time Spencer's going to go through this, right? I mean, if you wonder why he slipped a little bit in the draft, you had COVID, and he'd already been under the knife. And so we're used to now pitchers just, it's almost like a rite of passage. You're going to do it at least once, and you're going to come back, and you're going to be just as good, if not better in some cases. Twice? I don't know. I don't know what the data is on a guy going through it twice and how effective he is. That would be interesting to me. The other thing that you mentioned, Dylan, is it really is an epidemic. And what I'm hearing from pitchers and people around MLB is that this pitch clock is actually exacerbating the situation. I don't know if I buy that. Have you guys put much into that?
So a couple. First of all, I don't think this is technically the same. It's not Tommy John. I know they announced it as Tommy John. Internal brace is a little bit different. I will say I've never been high on internal bracing, typically because the few times that we've seen it done, it kind of is more just a kick the can down the road thing rather than a true heel. But then again, you would probably say the same thing about Tommy John surgery. As far as I'm aware, and I'm not a doctor, internal bracing is fairly new, so we're still kind of getting better at knowing what to do. So that's a good thing, which means Spencer can be back at the beginning of 2025 rather than basically missing all of next year as well.
I hope it's a version of, you know, like that tightrope. It took recovery from how
six
many
to 8 weeks to here you're back in three.
Absolutely.
Brock,
and so sometimes there's a better mousetrap. Now, I don't know if I want you drilling a hole through my quarterback's heel and running some fishing line through it first.
Probably not. I would choose
somebody
not to.
Else's quarterback first. So I'm with you on that internal brace thing. But after you're okay, so you can fish in one, just pull it up and it'll really cut it in half, and they're like, yep, go ahead.
I just don't want to be the guinea pig is my problem on that. But as to the overall point here, certainly I would say for sure cutting down time on the pitch clock does not help. For sure. And you can argue about how much it hurts. I think it's a whole bunch of different problems. Clearly, the idea of throwing max effort, you know, every single pitch, well, no, duh. The harder you try to throw something, the more wear and tear it puts on your arm, and not just your elbow, your shoulder too, all of that good stuff. So if you know a lot of pitchers who, you know, threw pretty hard back in the day, they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, chances are they're probably not throwing very much anymore. But I think it's kind of a combination of everything. You've got, I personally think year-round pitching is a worse deal. I think throwing hard year-round is worse on your arm than anything, because I do just kind of firmly believe most people just have a set number of bullets that they can expend. And taking time off, making pitchers rush certainly doesn't help, but you could go even further into baseball's crackdown of sticky substances. Should baseball kind of create something that helps with grip, so you're not having to grip the ball so hard? That's what Tyler Glasnow was talking about a couple years ago when he blew out his arm. I think it was like the day after they really reinforced the sticky ban. He would claim that it was gripping the baseball harder that put more force on his forearm and caused him to have TJ. It's a different world, man. I'm going to be keeping a really close eye on Walker Buehler, though, as he's coming back from his second TJ.
Yeah, that's a great example of it. And I would just say, in closing, I'm seeing this at the college level. I mean, I do a lot of SEC work and see top 10 pitchers that are going to be top 10 draft picks every year. Hagan Smith of Arkansas is going to be the next version. Paul Skeens last year out of LSU with the Pirates will probably be brought up in May. And they're all just max out. And you just sit there and you're like, I'll start the egg beater timer, because it's just a matter of time before he's going to have to go on the shelf. We have the best analogy I heard from somebody is that we have now made the motor, the engine on the car, faster than the chassis can support. Right? I mean, just all these guys can just throw blazing fastballs, incredible velo.
Yeah, you know what though happens?
But the human body is not stood for that.
If you buy a Ferrari, all right, unwind it. But you like if you bought a Del Sol or a Fiero or whatever, like there's a governor on it, so you can't burn out the engine. Now, the governor is the guy on the mound. I've said Jacob DeGrom before. Do you have to aim for a 1.8?
Can you please just try to dial it?
Pitch to a 2.9. Pitch to a 2.9 ERA. Do you have to throw a slider as your fastball? Like, do you really have to do this? And his answer, well, that's who I am. And I know that's who you are when you pitch, which is not often.
I do wonder, though, for a lot of these guys.
Do you have to try to, you know, 15 Ks per nine?
For a lot of these guys, do you think that you can really, like, intentionally dial it back and still be effective? I think that's another talking point here is, can you actually, for a lot of these guys at the highest level, can you intentionally tone down and still be good?
I was in elementary school, first time I heard this, and it was Tom Seaver, and he said three or four times a game, he says, I can throw a pitch that this guy, it's going to be a strike, and he can't hit it. He said three or four times a game, I can do it. I think there are pitchers in the bigs who come in, they're like, I'm going to do that as many pitches as I can to
right,
start.
Because that's how you get to the big leagues now. Other thing is baseball's not going away from it.
Guys, what excited me most about Spencer and the thought of this year of him getting even better and maybe giving a little relief on that arm was that he developed a curveball. He wasn't going to have to max out just fastball, slider, but that's going to have to showcase itself another day. I'll tell you what's going to showcase itself after the break. Chuck, I know you have an update on a top story going on.
Absolutely. You want that now? You want that after the break?
It's up to you, sir.
Well, you teased after the break and then call and play the open. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and do it right now. Sometimes this is just supposed to be good marketing, okay? And sometimes, I don't know, you rely on Southern upbringing. Yulee, Florida, you know where that is. It's basically South Georgia as much as it is North Florida. Home of Derrick Henry, so he's Southern. He knows better. If you remember our top story, Jimmy's Famous Seafood in Baltimore at the beginning of the free agent period said, Derrick Henry signed with the Ravens, free crab cake egg rolls for life. They put a cap on it. Let me rephrase this. The owner of a restaurant offered a 6'3", 250-pound NFL veteran all the crab cake egg rolls he wants, as long as he wants, if he'll come play football there for two seasons. Derrick Henry signed the contract, and everybody's like, oh, Jimmy, here comes Derrick. Monday was the first day of the Ravens offseason program. Monday night, Derrick Henry showed up at Jimmy's Famous for crab cake egg rolls.
That is that's so awesome.
Okay, now dude's
that's
not
what
gonna,
Maryland does.
Dude ain't gonna go broke, okay? The place isn't gonna go under. But I'm gonna tell you, I have seen what guys do with food carts. Like the magic card. And I'm gonna tell you right now, I mentioned this before. I used to have a magic card. The magic card is the 100% off. Okay. I had a magic card from Applebee's. Applebee's is not necessarily even a great restaurant, I'll say. It's not Bones. I'm going to put it another way. Hang on. Mike, stop laughing. Applebee's, you need to be maybe more targeted on the menu. I wore that card out. Like, you could see as many times as they, you know, did the swipe on it, like the streaks on the back of it, it turned into Braille. Because it was free Applebee's.
Because you can.
There were we had Hooters cards here. I've seen what my coworkers do with Hooters cards. So Derrick Henry being offered like really, really good food. My goodness.
Yeah, that is top notch. When I was doing games with the Columbus Red Sticks as a broke 22-year-old young broadcaster to get free food at a local dive called B. Merrill's, that might as well have been like a Ferrari.
It is the end of the rainbow. It absolutely. I'm telling you, Jimmy's Famous, the owner here, big time commitment to his NFL team. Big time commitment here from this guy.
It's also going to be huge for marketing. You know how many more people are going to go in there now? You got a chance to see Derrick Henry wolfing down some crab cake egg rolls.
That's a good NIL deal if I've ever heard of one. Coming up on Today Was a Good Day, Damian Woody, Michael Lombardi, their thoughts on Bill Belichick not coming to the Falcons because, well, somebody decided it was not a good deal. We'll tell you about it. It's Chuck and Chernoff, Mike Morgan, Dylan Short, Chuck Oliver here on 680 The Fan and 93.7 FM.
Picked up a girl I've been trying to dig since the 12th grade. It's ironic. I had the brew, she had the chronic. The Lakers beat the Supersonics. Today was a good day.
It was a good day.
It was a good day. It is a good day for a former offensive lineman and a former GM to question, well, the Atlanta Falcons. So this is Damian Woody on one of the talking shows in the morning on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Damian, of course, a former Patriot, played for a number of Super Bowl teams. He was giving some of his thoughts on the whole Belichick-Kraft Falcons blank Raheem Morris situation. Damian, take it away.
Arthur Blank wants a family atmosphere. He wants
it. Can we stop right there, please? Can we stop right there? What the hell is a family environment? I thought it was about winning. Everything is about winning. It's about winning championships. Everything comes with winning. I get so sick of this whole, we want to collaborate. You know, collaborate. What the hell does that even mean? Like, we're trying to win championships. You're talking about a football savant, a football genius. And Bill's not even, like, in your top three? I can't even take you seriously.
I got to say, I've heard Damian Woody on that show for years. I've never seen him that animated, ever.
I got to say this, though. I mean, are we so certain that Bill Belichick at this point in time is, like, the same Bill Belichick, that he should be given that same grace as far as winning? Look at New England right now. He had full control. Look at where that team is.
I tell y'all, I'm just taking the win here. He's never coaching again. He's not going to get Don Shula's record, and I think it's funny.
I do, too.
So, like, I'm just taking the win. I'm enjoying this. Finally, I look at Bill Belichick and go, loser, but big like, L of it, loser.
And it's not a shame. I'm not taking a shot at him, but, like, the game does pass you by. Like, the game passes everybody by at some point. I mean, just look, the dude thought Mac Jones was a first-round quarterback.
Oh, you can lose your fastball. Absolutely, you can. And it's easier to have a fastball with a bunch of Hall of Famers on defense and Tom Brady.
Right.
Now, he's one of the two or three best defensive coordinators maybe in the history of the NFL.
Sure.
Even when he was head coach, he was still the DC. However, the story, like I said yesterday, is tasty. I don't believe it's true because, like, did Arthur Blank need anyone to tell him Bill Belichick's not trustworthy?
Or did he need Robert Kraft to say, I don't know if you should trust him?
It was already documented.
All right, well, let's get some more on it. Michael Lombardi, former NFL general manager. This is on the podcast, The GM Shuffle, his analysis of what went down.
From the start, McKay had no interest in Belichick. McKay made phone calls to see if Belichick was interested. And every one of those phone calls, it was said that Rich wasn't going to be involved. But everybody knew he was going to be involved. He and Arthur have some kind of relationship nobody can understand or explain. he probably said to Fontenot and he said to the other people, look, let Arthur have his moment and then we'll go to work on it. We'll be able to build a case against him and we'll be able to convince Arthur. And that's what they did.
So if you read the room here, guys, I get it. You don't want Belichick with the keys to your draft picks, your free agency pickups, etc. That's clearly what went wrong with New England. Whoever is going to be leading that team this year, I don't care who they get in the draft. I don't care if they take May. I don't care if they trade down and pick up more picks. They're going to be bad. They're going to be awful. And certainly that's on Belichick's resume. On pure coaching ability, would he not have been able to help out Atlanta at all? Is that what we're saying?
I mean, maybe, but if he's not going to agree to come in unless he gets full control over everything, why would I do that for a guy that hasn't shown he can do it?
I believe there was a lot of self-preservation going on in Flowery Branch. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I am alarmed at how swayable Arthur Blank seems.
Particularly in the case of Rich McKay.
Think? So there's that. But bigger picture... And I'm not just parroting what we just heard here because I've said this for years. Like, I don't want 53 team captains. I really don't. Vontaze Burfict. Like, we were talking about, you know, Antonio Brown earlier. I always said I don't want him, but I do want that. I mean, right. It's NFL football, people. What do you know, let's get nasty and mean and grimy and a little bit. They hit late. Like, the Bucs offensive line.
And Domokong Su, a perfect example.
Yes! Tom Brady showed up, and all of a sudden, you know what the Bucs line was? They were dirty, and they hit. I think Tom Brady encourages that stuff. Like, you heard about the $1,000 he was going to give to all of his linemen? Or maybe you did. Earlier this week, he said, I told my linemen in Tampa, you make a screen pass go for at least 15 yards, I'm giving every one of you $1,000 cash. He did 10 things beyond that. And you, all of a sudden, that Bucs line, what happened? They got a reputation as mean, nasty, after the whistle. You can choose that stuff. You really can. I love it.
I mean, it works. It wins.
Not collaborating.
But can I also just say that I really didn't want Belichick anyway, so I'm glad. I
got that vibe.
I'm mad about this on both sides. I don't like that Rich McKay still has the ear.
We kind of overlooked the other elephant in the room, and that is, were any of you wowed by the hire of Raheem Morris?
I wasn't wowed by it. It still can be the right choice, though.
It can be. It could have also been the right choice before you went down the Arthur Smith route. That I think that's going to be where most Falcons fans' heads are at if they do win. This is my biggest complaint, my biggest gripe about this, is the Falcons continuously paint themselves into a position where there's always a losing option. Like, there's always a negative take, and I can't stand that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Don't screw up number 8 in the NFL draft. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. We are at the end of the hour. It's now been 466 days since anyone around here decided to win a championship.
This is ruined a perfectly good day when I just washed my car.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.